If you have just tuned in, you are now listening to Worth Baptist Hour, a weekly broadcast of the gospel. This radio ministry is produced by Worth Baptist Church, and this is the pastor speaking. On this last Sunday of December, the last Sunday of 1975, we take great pleasure in greeting you in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. My, this has been a great year at Worth Baptist Church. In fact, it's been the greatest year in our 22-year history. On the first Sunday of March, 1976, we will celebrate our 22nd anniversary here at Worth Baptist Church. And this year, 1975, has been the greatest of all these years. And we're just thanking God and rejoicing in all the good things that God has done for us. Many souls have been saved and added to the church. Our Sunday school has set new records all the way through during the year of 1975. We've been privileged to send more money around the world to evangelize through our 75 or 80 missionary families than in any year in our history. And we're just glad for what God is doing, and the prospects of next year are far greater. And we're rejoicing because God is so good to us and He's done so many wonderful things for us. As you stop in the closing days of this year to count your blessings, I trust that you have discovered in your life the goodness of God. God has been good to America. God has been good to our city and to our people. And we have a lot to be grateful for as we end this year. On this very last Sunday of 1975, we take this opportunity to welcome you to the services of Worth Baptist Church. Our Sunday school begins at 10 o'clock. And we have a class for every member of your family, for every age and every grade level. The textbook of the Sunday School of Worth Baptist Church is the Bible only. We invite you and your family to come and study God's Word with us in the Sunday School hour today at 10 o'clock. We believe that the Bible has the answer and that men all over the world need to turn to God and discover the truth of what's written in His holy book. So as we study God's Word together, it will be a blessing to you in this last Sunday of the year. Remember, the motto of our Sunday school is teaching the whole Bible to the whole Sunday school to enlighten the whole family to the whole truth. And we'd like for you and your family to share it with us today in our Sunday school hour at 10 o'clock. The objective of Worth Baptist Church is simply stated as this. It is our objective to build a strong New Testament church with Spirit-filled Christians whose outreach is to evangelize the city and the regions beyond. And this we're doing through our city evangelism ministry and through our worldwide mission effort of 75 to 80 missionary families who are carrying the gospel around the world. So we invite you to come and share and be a part of this great ministry, building a New Testament church, evangelizing the city, and carrying the gospel around the world. Our Sunday morning worship service is at 11, and our Sunday evening worship hour is at 7. All of these services have been planned to meet your spiritual needs, and we believe you'd find a warm welcome, a friendly atmosphere, a spiritual environment in which to worship the Lord here at Worth Baptist Church today. Then this special announcement for Wednesday night, the 31st, we'll have a watch night service beginning at 8 o'clock and going through the midnight hour. We have a variety of speakers and music and testimonials, and we'll have a wonderful time on Wednesday night, December 31st, our watch night New Year's Eve service beginning at 8 o'clock. We invite you and your family and friends to share with us in the final service of 1975. That's our watch night service, Wednesday night, December 31st, beginning promptly at 8 o'clock. And then next Sunday, 1 week from today, we begin a brand new year. And everybody surely will want to be in Sunday school and church on the first Sunday of 1976. We begin this year with the anticipation that it will be the most wonderful year in our history. It is our desire to win more souls to Christ in 1976 than ever before. It is our desire to reach more people around the world, enlarging our mission program. And not only that, but we plan to begin construction on our brand new building during the days of the spring. Our new property, a 14-acre tract, is located 1/2 mile north of Loop 820 on Campus Drive adjoining the properties of the Fort Worth State School. We intend to begin that construction in the spring of 1976. But in the meanwhile, right here at our present location, 3309 Wilbarger Street, we invite you and your family and your friends to come and share with us the good things of the Lord as we continue evangelizing, preaching the gospel, teaching the Bible, winning souls to Christ, and experiencing revival and spiritual awakening during these days. Again, we invite you on this last Sunday of 1975 to share with us in our Sunday school hour at 10 o'clock, our morning worship hour at 11, and our evening worship hour at 7. And we would like to hear from you by mail this week. This may be the very first time that you've ever heard Worth Baptist Hour. Perhaps you are a regular listener to this broadcast. It matters not what your state is, where you live, or how long you've been listening. Maybe you're just passing through the city. At any rate, we'd be happy to hear from you a card or a letter this week addressed to Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. That address again, Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas, 76119. We'll be looking forward to hearing from you this week. And now to my message on today's broadcast entitled, The Family of God. I shall read from the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, beginning at verse 14. But before I read the scripture, I'd like for you to pause with me in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, truly we are grateful in the closing of 1975 for the wonderful year Thou hast given us at our church, for the great year that Thou hast given us through this broadcast. We thank Thee for the souls that have been saved through it. We thank Thee for the hearts and lives that have been blessed because of it. And now we pray particularly today, as the last broadcast of the year fills the air, may many hearts be blessed, may families be rearranged, and may lives be transformed, and may souls be saved. We pray especially for our sick and shut-in ones, our senior citizens, those who are not able to be out in public worship and public assembly today. It would be our prayer that the Holy Spirit might bless them and strengthen them during these days. And all through the coming year, we pray, Heavenly Father, that many hearts would be blessed as a result of the broadcast. We pray that we might have many new listeners, and that Thou wouldst use the messages on Worth Baptist Hour to bring many people to Christ. This is our prayer. And these are our petitions, and we ask them all in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. And now in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, beginning at verse 14, Paul writes, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is that breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end." My message today is entitled, The Family of God. Webster defines the family as a group of persons connected by blood or marriage, including cousins, grandparents, in-laws, and so forth. This is the family, And we are all familiar with family ties, and during this time of the year, especially, families have gotten together and are getting together for the holiday season. So we know the joys of being a part of a family. The family is the basic unit of society. Long before there was a church or a school or a government or a business, there was a home and there was a family. God Himself brought the first man and the first woman together, Adam and Eve, and united them, as it were, in marriage. And thus began the propagation of the human race. God in His wise providence has instituted the family, the home, and has brought together those who love each other as family units to continue the propagation of the human race. So God has been good to the family, inasmuch as He's given family ties and family characteristics that we cherish and that we love and that we embrace. But let me ask you a question, my friend. Do you belong to the family of God? Is God your heavenly Father? Is Jesus Christ your Savior? Do you know Him in the full pardon and forgiveness of your sin? You see, it's a good thing to have an earthly family, but my friend, it is far more important to have a heavenly Father and a Christian family and a family of believers all over the world. The family of God, do you belong? Let me ask four questions about the family of God, and by the help of the Holy Spirit, answer them in light of the Word of God. First of all, what kind of family is God's family? Well, we know that God's family first is a big family. Every person who has ever been saved, every man from Adam's hour to this hour who has been redeemed, pardoned, forgiven, who has experienced the new birth, who has been born again, who has anchored his faith in Jesus Christ, all these from Adam onward are members of the family of God. My, what a big family that is. It's a joy to be a part of a big family here on earth. But it's a greater joy to know that we have brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus all over the nation and around the world and out of every climate and out of every continent and out of every age. God's family is being made up as a big family. Not only that, but God's family is a happy family. Oh, the joys of the fellowship and communion that we have one with another as members of God's happy family. It's a happy thing to be a Christian. It's a happy thing to have Christ as your Savior. It's a happy thing to be in church. It's a happy thing to know that you can call upon God as your heavenly Father and that you can share with your brothers and sisters in the Lord the wonderful blessings of our great God. Truly, God's family is a happy family today. And then God's family is a rich family. Oh, many of the Christians around the world have not the material riches of this world, but they are all rich toward God and rich in mercy and rich in love and rich in God's grace. And after all, that's the thing that really counts. Because you see, all of the earthly wealth, the material things, the silver, the gold, the money, all of these things are going to perish with time. But our wealth in Jesus Christ is eternal. Paul says we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Do you know what that means, my friend? That means that we have and are entitled to a part of everything that Jesus Christ has. Christ has everything, and Christ has given us Himself, and that simply means that we too have everything. God is our Father. We are a big family, a happy family, and a rich family in Christ Jesus. The second question that I would ask is this: how should the members of God's family conduct themselves? I would answer by saying that we as members of the family of God should conduct ourselves in a manner becoming to a child of God. You see, we are children of God. God is our Father. If you are saved, God is your Father. You are His child. And you should conduct your life, your conversation, your habits, your words, your deeds, your actions, your thoughts, all should be conducted in a manner that is becoming a child of God. You should conduct yourself in a manner that is becoming to a subject of heaven. You see, we're not earthbound creatures. Our home is in heaven, and one day we'll be in heaven, and one day we'll go to be with the Lord, and so we need to conduct ourselves fitting and in the manner of those who are subjects of another world and subjects of heaven. Not only that, but we should conduct ourselves in a manner that is becoming to a first-class citizen of two worlds. We have a temporary citizenship here upon the earth. We're citizens of the great country of America, the United States, the greatest country in all the earth, with all of our shortcomings, with all of the corruption, with all of the problems that we have in our nation today. Yet America is the greatest nation on the face of the earth, and we are proud to say we are citizens of the United States of America. But my friend, we are proud, far more proud to say that we are citizens of heaven. Paul says our citizenship is in heaven, whence we look for the Savior, who shall come and fashion our vile bodies and make them like unto his own glorious body. Yes, if you are a Christian today, you are not only a citizen of this world, but you are a citizen of heaven. We then should conduct ourselves in a manner that is becoming to a first-class citizen of two worlds, the world below and the world above. We should obey God, our Heavenly Father, as His children. You know, parents desire that their children obey them. Even so, God desires that we, as His children, obey Him. Peter said, we must obey God rather than man. Jesus said, if you love me, obey me. That is, keep my commandments. Yes, as members of God's family, with our Heavenly Father, we should be obedient. Not only that, but we should have the proper attitude toward other members of God's family. That is, we should have the proper attitude toward other Christians. What is your attitude towards your fellow Christian today, my friend? Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you together with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And then in Romans chapter 12 at verse 10, Paul writes, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. And then in that same 12th chapter of Romans at verse 16, Paul says, be of the same mind one toward another. In 1 John 4:20 we read, if a man say, I love God and hate his brother, he is a liar. For how can he love God whom he hath not seen, if he loveth not his brother whom he hath seen? Oh, there's so much contingent upon our proper attitude one toward another in the Christian family of God. And then Jesus put it this way in John 13:35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you love one another. Yes, God's children should have the proper attitude one to the other, and that attitude stems from the right kind of love. If we love, then we behave correctly. If the love of Jesus Christ and if the Spirit of Christ is in our hearts, then we have love one for another, and all men know that we are disciples of Christ because we love one another. The third question that I would ask today is this: what will it be like when all of God's family get home? You know, there's something wonderful about thinking of returning home after you've left the family and left the home place, and then you go back home. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful experience that is. Just to be back home, to be back with the family, to be back in the environment where you grew up. That's a wonderful experience. But my friend, that will not be anything to compare. Oh, it is nothing to compare with what we're going to have when all of God's family get home. There are three things that I would point out concerning when God's family all get home. Number one, it will be a time of recognition. Someone asked Mr. Moody one time, Mr. Moody, will we know our loved ones in heaven? Mr. Moody said, why, yes, you know them on earth, don't you? And the person said, why, sure, I know them on earth. And Mr. Moody said, well, I think you'll have as much sense in heaven, as much sense in heaven as you have upon the earth. So truly, we will know our loved ones. It'll be a time of recognition. Paul put it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know, even as I am known. Oh, what a happy thought to know that when we get to heaven, we will know our loved ones and they will know us. Not only that, in the second place, it will be a time of reunion, gathering all the family of God together in one great family circle as we are united around the throne of God in the world above. And then it will be a time of rejoicing. Oh, what rejoicing we're going to have. We'll rejoice because the battle of life is over. It's terribly tough now for you. You're having a struggle now, but one day the battle of life will be over, and in heaven there'll be a time of rejoicing when God's family gets home. There'll be no more pain or death or sorrow or separation or suffering, and we shall forever be with the Lord. This is what it'll be like when we all get home. Then my fourth and final question is this. How does a person become a member of God's family? Well, my friend, there are two births. There's a physical birth and a spiritual birth. The physical birth brings you into the human family. The spiritual birth brings you into God's family. Jesus said to Nicodemus, ye must be born again. Now, my friend, if you're going to enter heaven, if you want to be a part of God's family, you must experience a new birth, a spiritual birth, a birth from above. Jesus said to Nicodemus, except a man be born of water, that's the symbol of the physical birth, and of the Spirit, that's the spiritual birth, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. In other words, my friend, you've got to have a second birth, a birth from above, the new birth. You must be born again into the family of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. There is but one entrance, and that's by the new birth, and that's made possible through the sacrificial death of Christ upon the cross. He died for you. He died that you might become a member of God's family. And all you need to do today is trust Him. Why, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means you. And I trust right by your radio this moment, you'll call on the name of the Lord and be saved. I have this footnote, and I shall be through. There's room in God's family for you. And you may enter right now, just as you are. May God help you to do it. Right by your radio in this moment, pray the sinner's prayer. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And you know, my friend, God will save you right where you are, right this moment. I trust that you'll believe in Him, even now. Again, may I remind you that it would be our joy on this last Sunday of 1975 to have you and your family attend the Sunday school hour at 10, and worship with us in the morning worship hour at 11 and the evening worship hour at 7 today. May God bless you as you plan to be with us on this closing Sunday of 1975. And until next Lord's Day at this same time by radio, we wish you well and the blessings of God upon your life, upon your family, and upon your home. And as always, we admonish you to keep on praying.